find out what it's like to experience the world from above. Fly your own drone today. DroneCloneExperts.com specializes in high-quality, affordable drones. Now introducing their Limitless 2 model, equipped with a 4K camera for stunning Ultra HD clarity, GPS with precision auto return, and up to 25 minutes flight time on a single charge. Visit DroneCloneExperts.com now and enter promo code RADIO to receive 15% off your entire order. That's DroneCloneExperts.com.
Hey, this is Joanna Going. I'm Christina from Kingdom, and you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
All right, hello, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, hello, and welcome back to Verbal Shenanigans. This is Nice Mike. This is our third time trying to start the show because my microphone died, or cable died, or something died twice. So third time's a charm.
Yeah, the irony is you keep on trying to find ways to kill my mic, but in the end I keep on like fighting back and making sure I make every episode. But,
No.
This week...
You misinterpreted. I've been trying to find ways to kill Mike. To kill Mike, not.
Oh, that would explain that guy in my front yard around 2 a.m. with a rifle. That explains it. Looking at him. I'm like, honey, this is weird. Come see this. And, you know, we were staring at him. But, you know, we were going to invite him in for coffee. But he just, like, pointed at me. And then he pointed at the gun. And then... He walked away, so I guess he'll be back later in the night. I don't know.
I will say, word of advice for anyone to listen, do not hire your assassins through Groupon. It just the quality is just not there, and it's a problem. Yeah. Clearly, it didn't work yet again, and Mike's still here.
Yeah, the people on there, that's just, the deals are too good to be true. I gotta be honest with you. Like, he even like yelled at me, "Hey, by any chance you got any ammunition? I couldn't afford any."
Yeah,
and I'm like, "Sorry, bro, I don't carry any." So, and then he yelled at me, "Hey, can you drink this poison?" I'm like, "No, I'm not really that thirsty right now." And it was just very awkward. And then he's like, "I'm gonna get such a bad review on Yelp."
Yeah, we were saying right before this that we took Labor Day off, like good human beings do, and good Americans do, right? America, it's our holiday. But we've been, during COVID, we've been putting out a ton of episodes. We were doing 2 a week for probably 4 months straight. So we're dialing it back. We're going back to 1 a week, and we got plenty of really cool interviews coming out. But we took a week and a half off, or probably not even, but it feels, Mike, like I haven't seen your mug in a while, so it's good to be back here.
Well, I'm sorry, man. I mean, you know, technically, when we don't record a show, you could like call me.
No, you know, that's definitely not a thing.
No, I'm pretty sure. Like, I looked up I googled podcast laws, and there's apparently no laws, so you could call me,
bro. You don't really want to get into podcast laws. Very tricky, very contractual. There's a lot of things that you might not understand. Like, you got to remember, I've been doing this for like, 16 more episodes than you. So I'm like I'm pretty much an expert at this point.
Oh, I forgot. Like, not only are you the veteran of the Verbal Shenanigans podcast, but that you actually went to college specifically for laws of podcasting. I forgot about that.
Isn't it weird that, like, this form of media wasn't even around when we were in college? Like, it's still so brand new. The first couple podcasts, maybe 10, 12 something years ago, but like, really, it's just kind of exploded in the last 5 years or so, as far as like everyone knowing. It's still, everyone doesn't know what a podcast is, which is pretty amazing. But, you know, you see the Rogan type deals, but it is pretty amazing. Like, when I went to school, it was still all radio and Sirius and XM were around at that point. That was kind of the new hot thing.
Was there like a Friendster, a podcast, like the initial thing where people were like, "Ooh, look at this," and then it had to grow into what podcasts are today?
I think like podcast, quote unquote, I use quotes, air quotes. I think they were more like people just essentially putting out audio onto their own websites. Like it wasn't as much as like there was an app for like, you know, an RSS feed that just goes right into your phone or anything. I mean, even the phones didn't really have it. So as far as being a form of media, it's still relatively new and still has, now there are thousands and thousands and thousands, but I guess you could say that about anything. There's thousands of TV shows and thousands of movies and thousands of bands. And there's always ones that still find their way. So, you know.
I mean, that was very learned of you to tell me about that. Clearly, you are, if I get into podcast jail, I will be calling you to save me, you know.
Listen.
Didn't you try the podcast Roe versus Wade?
I told you, you can't call me. It's contractually part of your contract that you signed early on. But anyway, everybody. Enough of the BS. welcome to the Verbal Shenanigans Podcast. We are a weekly podcast. That's Mike, and I'm Scott here. And we basically we like to banter about life a little bit before we get to our guests, but we always bring on very unique guests. And today is no different. If you tuned in last week, we had Joe Daddy Stevenson, who had a really amazing UFC career, MMA career, and has now resurfaced on Kingdom. Which Kingdom has also resurfaced on Netflix. And if you like Kingdom, we have another Kingdom guest today, which we'll get to in just a few minutes here. But Mike, we got a lot of listens coming in internationally lately. A lot of listens.
Really? Yeah,
really. You know, other than the United States, our top fans coming from Germany.
You know, I mean, I'm half German, so clearly, like the Berlu side of Germany, all are tuning in. The blasting I put out there is unreal. So thank God, you know, I got friends in German places.
I got friends in German places. Worst song ever. and then, surprisingly, after Germany, the Ukraine, or Ukraine, I know it's not, you're not supposed to say the Ukraine. Ukraine loving us. The big, powerful 22 listens in the last month from Ukraine.
But you brought up a good question. How many countries can say "the" in their name?
I didn't bring up their question. But the United States, is it the United Arab Emirates or is it just United Arab? I don't know, Mike. But
like, can I say I'm going to the Canada?
Well, I mean, you can say it. the looks you might get and, like, the people that might correct you, you might get a lot of that. But
you know what? It sounds like a new thing that I can get trending. So that's the thing. I'm going to make T-shirts that say The Canada on it.
You go ahead and do that. That goes right in the column of a lot of your other good ideas.
Going to make this work. I mean, I guess they're like The Bahamas. There's that.
That's true. Then after the Ukraine, The India. We got a couple of listens there. And then after that, we got the United Kingdom. So we welcome to those of you abroad and here to the Verbal Shenanigans Podcast. So
have we got any listeners back from Nigeria from that small strain from Christian Okoye out of curiosity?
I thought it was was it Nigeria or was it Kenya?
Well, is it a Nigerian nightmare?
Oh, Nigeria. Yeah. We got like a ton of followers from Nigeria. We got a bunch of listens from Nigeria. I guess, like, I don't know, maybe he's like their, you know, maybe he's like their J-Lo. Like, everyone knows them over there. Or someone in that, I don't know, who would be up? The Rock. He's up there where, you know, is a household name. So maybe Christian Okoye is that name over there.
That's how we increase our international countries. We just like send like emails to, hey, the India, who's your Rock? can you point us to your The Rock?
It'd be great if you went on like an African safari, like you went on a vacation and all of a sudden you look over and like your tour guide's wearing Verbal Shenanigans shirts and they're like, Like, everyone's really, really overly nice to you, and you can't quite figure out why. And they realize they recognize you from the show, and you're just like a big star over there, but they, you know, you just didn't know.
Well, I feel like our t-shirts in foreign countries is kind of like the losing Super Bowl team's t-shirts getting shipped over there. It's nothing to brag about. They're happy. They get free clothing, but at the same time, it's like, no, we're not into you.
Maybe that's what I need to do with all these extra t-shirts I have. Just ship them to a third world country, and all of a sudden we start to grow there. I think that's guerrilla marketing right there.
Yeah, like stapled to the tag, you know, are links. You know, maybe put like a little pamphlet in there with some of our previous guests. We'll try to figure out if some of them are from like a foreign country, whatever. Mm-hmm. And
this is
I think that's how we build. I think, you know, the American tribe was, you know, it was a cute attempt. But at the end of the day, I feel, you know, like Lesotho. I feel we could take over that country.
You're not wrong. This is up there with the putting verbal shenanigans stickers on bears, like we were talking about the other day, like with the Trump stickers. They were on bear collars. So maybe we just got to really start. I mean, we were talking before the show about different ways to maybe redo some of our social media and redo some of, you know, just give a redirect a little bit, you know, as you should every so-and-so. Maybe this is the key. We just start shipping nonstop verbal shenanigans shirts to people who don't ask for them.
Yeah, and I'm going to go on my social media and go hashtag the Canada, and we'll get that streaming. And before you know it, it'll be international superstars. I feel that's how easy it is. This sounds like the plot to like a Disney movie where they really didn't think it out and they just go, no, they'll just use the internet and they'll get famous.
Yeah, I don't know. If you like... Speaking of famous, like if you were like to choose a level of fame, like if you could, like, you know, say we achieved some sort of fame through something, maybe you get it through your Michael Berlew random stuff page. All of a sudden people start pouring in. They're like, oh my God, this guy's amazing. And for some reason you just blow up. And like, what level of fame would you be comfortable with? Like, I know personally, I can never deal with like the upper echelon of fame where you need like, basically, like, where paparazzi is all over you, everything you do is like, I don't even want that. There's nothing enticing about that to me.
Yeah, wearing disguises just to go to like the grocery store. No, no, would not be like that.
Like, The Rock, like we were just saying, is a perfect example. Too famous, man. Like, and he's just so big and like both physically and metaphorically. Like, he, like, you know exactly who that is when you see him. Not too many guys look like him.
Yeah, he can't just put on a wig and just go to the local Caldor. No, he would need like something like crazy outfit. Like, he would probably have to do like those fat suits that they do in some of the movies, like Norbit.
Yeah, pick like a couple hours to get ready just to go shopping. Like, sounds like I could that nothing about that sounds fun, nor would I ever want that. So I was trying to think of like a person, like fame level that you would be comfortable with or want to achieve.
Okay, I got you. I mean, I'm trying to like it would have to. I would like to have like a mid-level
right
kind of deal where it's like I'll probably make like six figures, maybe on a good year, a little low in the seven figures, and like people will look at me. It's like, I think I remember you for something. It's on the tip of my tongue, but it won't be like the instantaneous, wait a minute, you're famous.
So you'd like to be like one of those guys that everyone sees in a movie. He's like, oh, he was in was in something else. What's his name? They got to Google you a little bit.
I guess like a good example was our guest Larry Hankin.
Okay.
I think constant career for many decades. Like, you see him on TV. He's like, that guy. I remember him from like Friends or.
Yeah.
This or that, but like he can go out shopping and nobody's like stopping him from like moving.
Yeah.
Maybe like one or two people are like, hey, are you? And get like a quick selfie with them, maybe an autograph. But at the end of the day, can pretty much get through their day.
Yeah. Like, could do local podcasts, like no problem. Yeah. You can still be scheduled to do whatever you want.
Yeah. Like if I could go in a day and the most people that like come up and stop me is like around four or five. I think that's the perfect fame level.
Yeah, I think you want to be at that fame level that where, like, you could still do, like, all these independent projects and just put stuff, like, all, your own content out where there's not, like, this big explosion and, like, every time you put something out, there's not, like, tweets about, like, you want, like, your followers to kind of get it and then gain some new ones and every once in a while kind of have, like, a big boom. Like, oh, he's so funny. I love him. Like, when I thought about this question before, I was thinking about Jim Brewer, my personal favorite comic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very famous. Had his SNL. He had his moment in the sun, SNL. But he's actually more respected as a stand-up comic over the years. And he still, he goes and he, you know, he'll sell out shows. They got to add two shows. Everyone knows he's an amazing comic. But yet he's able to live right over where you used to live, Mike, over in Chester, right next to you, Chester, New Jersey. He's the kind of guy, right, if he put on a ball cap, like a, you know, a Mets hat and just kind of went to the store, who's stopping him? A couple people. Hey, Jim, what's up? And he's got that personality. Like, hey, what's up, man? And like, that's kind of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the perfect amount. And then add to it, like, if you feel like doing something like that's not your usual norm, and if it fails, like, nobody's screaming, oh, look what blah blah did. And all, I mean, they had their career and look, their career's dropping or something like that. You can play around,
yeah,
do whatever you want. Like, nobody's gonna do it. Like, at best it'll be like a podcast interview question where like, oh, what about that? Ah, ha, ha. Well, I tried something out, didn't work, you know.
Yeah, whatever. I was also thinking like Rob Micklehenny from Always Sunny. Now he's obviously known, but like, he's got one of the biggest shows of all time, right? You know, as far as length and whatever. And, but I feel like he could probably walk the streets no problem. And I feel like he gets a ton of big projects because people know that he can write and he's very funny and he can direct. So I feel like he's not like a household face, but people go, I know him from somewhere. Like, I know that guy, you know?
You know, it's probably a very good one. The people who make money doing voice acting, like The Simpsons or, you know, like.
What's the main guy from The Simpsons? Series?
Because like.
Frank.
Because most.
What the main guy from The Simpsons that does a ton of voices?
Dan Castorella, is it? I mean, there's a few of them that do a ton of voices. Hank Azaria.
Hank Azaria. That's the one I was thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, hey, he does like regular movies from time to time. He's got all that, but, and they change their voice so much. It's not their just talking voice. So they're famous. Maybe a few people actually know like what their regular face looks like, but you can pretty much anywhere you can go, maybe outside of a Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Just walk around and nobody's going to bother you. You're not going to have to worry about, I got pay security. I don't have to worry about stalkers or anything. Like, nobody's stalking the voice from Rick and Morty. Okay.
Right.
It just doesn't happen. All they have is fans. That's it. You don't have to worry about stuff like that. So that's the fame I want to be.
Yep. Like, well, let's use this as a transition because I think our guest, we're going to get our guest on here. Now, here's a woman that I can see becoming a household name after her performance here. So see, that was a good transition. That was a good transition. Usually it's like we're talking about like some weird dream we had, and then we're like, and now we have the world's...
Speaking of exploding monkeys.
So Joanna Goings is coming on the show. Now, that might not be a household name as of yet, but if you watch her on the show Kingdom, you might see a theme here over this month or so. She knocks it out of the park with a very deep, dark, but also very bubbly at the same time character that goes through some amazing twists and turns and whatnot. And she gave us a really phenomenal interview. She's been in a bunch of different TV shows from Mad Men to, like I said, Kingdom, and the list goes on and on and on. But I could see her getting some big roles coming up soon, and especially after people get their eyes on the show. So without further ado, here comes Joanna Goings, who plays Christina on Kingdom. Let's get her on the line.
Boom.
First off, Joanna, thanks so much for joining us. It's a real pleasure to talk to you. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I found Kingdom maybe a month ago. And I watched it, and then I kind of started rewatching a little bit because I knew we were interviewing you, and we had Joe Daddy on, and we had Byron on, so I kind of wanted to, like, almost double dipping to me. So I feel like we've been hanging out for a month. That's what I'm that's what I'm saying. But we appreciate you for coming on for a few minutes. Where are you at right now during this whole
pandemic? Los Angeles in the Valley.
So is pretty much everything still just shut down there, or?
Yeah. I mean, there's things have lightened up a little, but you know, we're under orders. Like, no schools are opening. You know, things like that. I mean, they don't want you to gather. They want you to stay home. I pretty much stay home.
Yeah. Well, we've been at, you know, the pandemic has been obviously awful for everybody, but for the podcast, it's been pretty cool because I feel like we've gotten a lot of interviews, which we usually are ones that we don't get normally, but we've been doing so many of them, and bands and artists and musicians. And one of the things we constantly are asking these artists is kind of how have you, you know, handled your time during the pandemic, like creatively, because a lot of times, you know, you're trying to either work on your craft or working on a movie, but all this is kind of shut down. How do you, as an actress, kind of, you know, with kind of nothing going on, work, keep yourself occupied and stay sharp acting wise?
I don't really. So I may be quite dull by now. I don't know. I just did a tape audition this morning. You know, it takes me and my daughter hours to do it because I'm like, no, we gotta do it again. But I've taken the time to, I don't know, do things that I don't usually do, like, you know, garden.
Right.
I haven't been able to, you know, plant vegetables or anything because I'm usually working in the summer. So I go away a lot. Right. So I've been doing that. I've been just, you know, like digging around in the dirt in my yard and baking things. I do the sourdough thing. And early on, I was making lots of jams because I have some fruit trees. So I was doing that a lot. Yeah. So just sort of housekeeping things. I've kind of run out of things now, but I was kind of living out my little house in the prairie dreams. I was like out there in the garden farming, and I was like making the jam.
Yeah. I feel like
cleaning and ironing. And
I feel like that was the first 2 months of the pandemic for everybody. It was like, I'm reinventing myself. I'm doing all these things I put off forever. And then like, by month three, it's like, oh my God, I want to do the stuff I love or I'm good at, you know? And it does become draining after a while. So hopefully there's some light at the end
around
of the tunnel.
The June timeframe, everybody was uninventing themselves to, I'm bored.
Yeah.
Let me just watch some TV.
All their plants are dead and their jams are spoiled, you know?
Yeah, it got so hot here in the Valley that, you know, I had to like let the tomatoes go. I mean, I had to stop watering things. My water bill was insane.
So Joanne, like, you're one of six kids. Did you just get into acting just so you can get out of the house out of curiosity so you can have a own bedroom or something?
Well, I don't think that's why I got into acting, but but you know, we used to do, when we were kids, we would do shows and stuff for my parents. But what got me really into acting was doing it with amateur theater companies in Newport, Rhode Island, which was there was quite a vibrant theater community there when I was a kid. And so I got involved with them, and my high school didn't have much theater, like didn't really have theater at all. So doing that is what, you know, and it was the community of it that really drew me into it.
So now, you know, I kind of found you through Kingdom and then kind of backtracked and looked at some of the things you did. But I guess we have to start at Kingdom. You know, it was recently released on Netflix, and for me, it was I watched the first two episodes and it was like, okay, I'm not going to stop watching this until it's over, kind of. And, you know, it seems you're starting to see it. You're starting to see that it pop up on Facebook, and I see friends, hey, did you see this show? And Facebook groups popping up. You know, we talked to Byron, and one of the big things was the show was on a network that honestly no one knew existed, you know, and it, which mm-hmm. may have worked for him being left alone for his creation and you guys to kind of really push all sorts of boundaries and limits.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
But, you know, as far as people watching it, which is also super important, it kind of, you know, but now it has this second life almost. How did you get cast for the role, and how did you get into that?
It was just a regular audition. I was actually shooting a film in LA at the time. It was a very low budget film, and I was in every scene of that movie, and it was very intense. So I actually got this audition came in, and I didn't really put a lot of weight on it because, you know, whenever there's nothing better than an actor with a job, it's the most relaxed auditions you will ever
right, go right.
on because, hey, mm-hmm. I got a job. So, but I read the script, you know, thinking like mixed martial arts. I don't know anything about that. All I know is that I think I don't like it and cage fights and, yeah. And I started reading it, and it was a page turner, and I fell in love with the characters, and the writing was just, you know, just jumping off the page, and I really loved the character of Jay, and it was a while till Christina came in, because on, you know, in that first episode, she yeah. comes in at the end, and there's just a teeny little bit, and that's all I saw going into the audition.
Wow.
But I just felt like this writing was amazing, and, you know, these characters, and I want to be Jay's mom. And so I went in, but I was very relaxed, which probably worked for, you know, junkie Christina. And I read for Byron, and a little while later I was cast.
Now, so you see that little bit, you know, you're a junkie in the first, you know, pilot episode and whatnot, but did you have any idea where that your character went to some deep, dark places? You know, for those of you who haven't seen the show, Joanna's character goes into drugs and prostitution and raising a son and you know, trying to connect with, there's a lot of places that go, like, were you prepared to dive into a role that deep? And if not, what kind of preparation goes into taking on something so heavy?
Well, you know, I didn't know where it was going to go. Like I said, I signed on just based on that first script. I had no idea what was going to happen. And then we did the deal. And then I had dinner with Byron, and he kind of, you know, fleshed out a few things about her. And, but I don't think Byron even had planned to have Christina as much involved as she became. But so no, I think if it had been a film and I had read from beginning to end, I might've been like, oh my God, I can't do that.
Yeah.
But I was so grateful to Byron, for seeing that in me. I don't know if it's a compliment or not
yeah.
that he saw that in me, but but it really was the best challenge that I'd had as an actress, and it was the most fulfilling part that I've had. And, you know, I love to do a lot of research, so I love diving into the research, both in heroin addiction and prostitution. So I did a lot of that. And so I love to, you know, come up with all kinds of toys. And then, you know, the character develops, the way Byron works is he's very inclusive of the actors, and we would have lots of conversations. And he would kind of go away and write things and sort of take little bits and pieces from you and work them into the show. It's not like I can point to something and say, oh yeah, that's me.
Right.
But he would take the essence of it and work it into her. And really, you know, he got to know the actors and then wrote for the actors.
Yeah.
Tell us about, like, your relationship with Jonathan Tucker. Like, did you just hit it off with him right off the bat? Because, I mean, he just the back and forth between you two are amazing. Like, I'm in season 2, episode 9. I just came off the episode where he found your drugs and took some of his own. That was a crazy intense scene. So I'm just kind of curious, did you just like knock it off the bat with him, or do you guys have to kind of work to build that kind of gelling?
And I will stop you right there. We had a fan question that's very similar, so I will give a shout out to a Kingdom fan, Jenilee Newman. Her first question was, what is Jonathan Tucker like to work with? So it kind of ties into this question.
Jonathan Tucker is astounding to work with. He's incredible. And we sort of hit it off in an unspoken way right from the start. The very first scene I shot with him, well, the very first thing I shot was that drive up in the first episode. And that was kind of insanity because it was the middle of the night and they rushed me to set and, you know, we hardly spoke and we'd hardly spoken at that point. But then once we got into the third episode where we have a little more to do with each other, we sat down in a diner. It was a diner scene. And we started working that scene and I was like, whoa. He is raising the bar. He is, you know, I just was like, I have to, you know, do some work to match him. And I think we had a great respect for each other from the get-go, and we just kind of took each other's hand and went into that, and we committed to the relationship. And then as we got to know each other, we grew closer and we adore each other off screen too. But I think it was, we didn't talk it out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, it was so much was there in the material, and that if you just committed to the material, you know, and he'd do all sorts of things on set. I mean, he's a live wire. You never quite knew what he was going to do. So he would keep me on my toes.
Yeah. I mean, if you know, you watch the show, and you know, obviously the script writing is great, the production's great, the, you know, director's great, but, you know, it comes down, so the casting is just from one character to next, from you to Frank to Jonathan to Keith's character, you know, it's just everybody is just putting in, like, amazing work, and it's so cool to see. Is when you're working on a show like that, that is, it's just chock full of actors and actresses that are, you know, they're known, but they're so talented. Are you guys just all like, does it become a family unit? Does it become like, you guys are raising the bar together? Because that's what it seems like. It just seems like, you know, from episode one to season three, episode 10, it just seems like you guys keep raising the bar as far as your characters. And it feels like the viewer could actually feel you discovering your characters through the show.
Yeah, we were very tight. We were a very tight group. I mean, some, you know, some tighter than others, because just I was much older than, you know, than the guys. And but you know, I think their bond came out of, I'm talking Tucker and Matt and Nick. They all did Fight Camp together.
Right.
So, you know, that, and they also, I know Tucker and Matt knew each other before because they were on Parenthood together. So, but, you know, they all bonded before we even started going, you know, through the brutal, you know, training that they all did. But, you know, you would shoot your part, and, you know, I would never be around when Frank and Keeley were shooting something.
Right.
And then we'd, you know, watch the episodes week by week, and you're just like, oh my God, you know? I mean, it was just like so thrilling to see what everybody was doing. And that did sort of like, you know, make you so proud to be a part of it. And, you know, we had a great time together. Whenever we were all together, it was great and fun. When we were doing press or things like that, we enjoyed each other a lot. And we miss each other a lot.
Don't worry. It's going to come back. I feel it. I feel it. I feel it in my bones.
Now, you've done quite a few like dramas. And you've been on Mad Men. You've been on House of Cards. Like, tell us about the set when you're on these high-profile shows and all. Are you able to be relaxed, or are you always kind of be in the moment of the scene because of the high drama in all these kind of shows?
I definitely say the latter. when you're coming into a show like that, that is a train that's, you know, been rolling down the tracks at high speed. You just kind of come in, know your part, know your lines. You got to just get in there, deliver. You don't have time to become, you know, really chummy with people. They're all a working, well-oiled machine.
Right.
And so when you're doing these guest parts, you're kind of like, you got to take care of yourself a lot. And then, you know, certain actors will be very generous, of course. It's intimidating. But also, like, they were two shows that I was such a fan of, those two particular jobs, that I was so thrilled to be there. And Mad Men was, you know, doubly fun because, like, the wardrobe fitting was insane because it was putting on all these vintage clothes. It was really a blast. It's a very different experience than doing something where you're there from beginning to end.
Now, Joanna, when you guys are working on Kingdom and you guys know the show is the superb quality and you know it's something that, you know, should be seen by so many people, like, you know, it should be with the Breaking Bads and the, you know, Game of Thrones, whatever. It should be that, you know, like, you know it. You watch it, you go, this is phenomenal. The people who did watch it, are you guys kind of upset that it's not getting the exposure during that time? Or are you just happy it's going, you know, like it's going forward?
It was frustrating. Yeah. It was frustrating. The show was made for audience channel on DirecTV. You had to have DirecTV to be able to watch the audience channel. So, you know, that was frustrating. Even, you know, friends and family, I was giving out my DirecTV password all over the place. because I wanted people to be able to watch it.
It's funny.
As we went along the way, a few things happened where, the first episode, or the first season, I think when we were into the second season, the first season was went up on iTunes. So then it was like, yay, you can see it on iTunes. You can see it. But then the AT&T merger happened with DirecTV, and then they took it off because they were going to start their own streamer. So it was always really hard to find and extremely frustrating for us. It's kind of crazy what's happening now, because it is like it never was before, and it's thrilling to see how many people are catching on to it now.
Yeah, I mean, when we were talking to Byron, like, I was saying to him, you know, like, I've been following MMA a lot for a good amount of years now, and I never heard of the show once. Like, I think it only popped up on Netflix because I watched a bunch of MMA and fight shows, and it's like, you may and I'm like, oh yeah, I'll check this out, you know. So it is pretty interesting. And I was saying to Byron, like, I think that show, it came out in 2014. If it came out in 2017, it would have been the biggest show on television, like, because MMA just boomed, you know, like everybody knows that there's household names now. Like, I just think it would have blew up.
Well, yeah, and, you know, we had the stamp of approval from the UFC, and we were, going to fights, and a lot of all the fighters who aren't our core actors, people who they fought were actual MMA fighters, and, you know, recognizable fighters.
Yep. Cub Swanson, a bunch of guys.
And so we were doing events in conjunction with the UFC. So some people in the world of it were getting, knew about it. We were getting, like, you know, fighters were tweeting at us, and it was really gratifying. You know, I didn't have anything to do with the fighting, but for the guys and the trainers and the fight choreographers, right. It was really gratifying that they said yeah, but also they were saying yeah to the world of it.
Yeah, you yeah. Know, there's that, so many authentic know. Things in there, from the weight cuts to the crap money for fights. Like I thought what was cool about the show was that it wasn't focused on the UFC, the big time. It was focused on the guys trying to make their way up in that hard struggle. I think that was the best decision as far as the show. You know.
Yeah, and you know, even just as you know, playing the mother of these fighters, Joe Daddy Stevenson, who was, you know, appeared in the show as a trainer at Navy Street, but he was also the technical advisor. And but he would like come up to me and he just grab me and hold me because he's so related to my character in his family life. Yeah, you know,
we just talked to him on Monday. He was fantastic. He was really interesting.
Yeah, he's such a sweet guy. And so yeah, that was, you know, a lot of the family life thing seemed to ring true as well.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
I'm just kind of curious now, after the show's been gone for so long now, obviously when it went on Netflix, I'm sure you're like, okay, some people will get to see the work, but did you foresee like this pushback? Well, now like there's groups coming out saying season 4, bring it back.
No, I mean, that's been wonderful. I, you know, we had despite how hard it was to find in the beginning, you know, back in 2014, we did have a very strong little fan base, right. Who were, you know, very passionate about it. So I, you know, and there were pages and fan pages, but, to see how, you know, I'm just like, the tweets are constant stream of tweets that, you know, about bring it back. That's amazing. My own, you know, Instagram, like, it's like more than doubled now.
Yeah,
since July.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's also, you know, it goes back to that frustration because so few people saw it back then. And, it, you know, when we finished it, it almost felt like it never happened for me personally in my career. And, you know, I think a lot of people didn't know that I could do that role.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, so now I, you know, now they're seeing that.
Well, that's a good segue. I got two other fan questions that were kind of similar. And your role, like we talked about, is very deep and goes into some dark places and some extreme scenes. So, one question from Jenny Newman and one question from, I just want to get their names right. So they, know that I actually saw this.
My dog barking in the background.
My dog is part of every episode. Surprise, he's not here yet.
We like dogs.
yeah. Oh, and from the Joy on Facebook. So both of them kind of asked, and I'll combine their questions. You know, how are, you know, you're in some deep scenes. How are these intimate scenes shot? And they asked, is it very difficult to film like nude scenes in such an intense, like, these aren't like generally romantic nude scenes either. These are hard, emotional for the audience. I'm curious how you were able to do these.
You know, I've always felt that if the nudity is part of telling the story,
right.
You know, it's important to do it. As long as it's, you know, you don't want to be it to be gratuitous,
right.
But it's part of the story. And, you know, Christina, I mean, you know, there's nothing prim and proper about her. She had to be a person who let it all hang out and is not ashamed of her body or in any way, and is very open and free. So that had to be an essential part of this character.
Right.
So, you know, I was committed to doing that. Now, when you're, you know, when you are actually shooting it, and you know, the camera, the cameraman, the camera operator is sitting, you know, 3 or 4 feet away from you, and yeah. you're definitely going like, does this look okay? Or does this look okay? What, yeah, yeah. What looks better? Yeah. What, you know, you're trying to preserve a little bit of dignity in there. But you know, I felt really committed to it. I think it is an essential part of our show. It really, you know, it's the grit of the show. You know, the show on screen, I mean, you can almost smell it.
Yeah, it's raw. It's raw.
Yep. Yeah, it is raw. Mm-hmm. Intense. So, you know, and I this was not the first time I've done nudity.
Right.
You know, I've been okay with it at the proper time and place.
Well, you picked a good week. You picked a good week because usually me and Mike we do the show in the nude. Yeah. But, you know, we wanted to. Yeah.
Yeah. Our second name is the Free Ball Podcast. I guess, you know, we haven't been going into spoilers or anything, so I have to ask you the most important spoiler on earth in your career. How in the heck did Kevin McAllister be left at home for a fourth consecutive movie, out of curiosity, Joanna?
You know, I mean, divorce. It's, you know, he wasn't. Well, how do you get? I can't even remember. Yeah. I know it was a product of divorce. That chapter of Home Alone,
yeah,
which we shot in South Africa.
Really?
They CGI'd the snow. Yeah.
What? Now that is a fact I bet you no Home Alone fan knows.
No, yeah. it took place in Chicago, and we were in gorgeous Cape Town, South Africa.
That's crazy.
Of course, the two places look so similar. It makes,
I mean,
total
seriously,
sense.
Seriously, that's about 85% of why I signed on to the job.
Yeah. So. In the meantime, as far as, you know, Kingdom's doing well and whatnot, but what could fans of yours or people who are discovering you, you know, through this interview, through the show, through things you're doing, what kinds of things have you been working on or should fans look forward to that will be coming out eventually?
Well, there's a show, it already came out, but you can go find it on CBS All Access. I shot it last spring and summer, so it came out I think in the beginning of this year. It's called Interrogation.
Okay.
It's if you're into like forensic crime drama, it's a true life crime. It's an unsolved murder that happened in the 80s in Sherman Oaks here in California, and it remains unsolved. And the way the show is structured is 10 episodes, and each episode is an interrogation of some party to the,
cool,
you know, to the murder. And so you see it through, you know, different people's, see the story through different people's eyes, and you follow along kind of collecting information along with the detectives. And you can watch it in any order that you want to.
Really?
There's a suggested order if you don't want to do that, but it was kind of created so that you get to the end of one episode and you decide what do you want to see next. Oh, that guy was interesting to me. I want to see him next.
It's like a choose your own adventure.
It's kind of fun. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I mean, fun. I play Mary Fisher. I'm the murder victim.
Oh,
so
nice. Yeah. Yeah. Joanna, this has been an absolute pleasure. You're awesome. You're immensely talented, and you even undersold yourself. And when you emailed me back, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I hold up to you. You more than held up. Really had a good time. One of the question that came from three different fans, I'm not even going to go into all their names, but you could probably guess what I'm going to ask, is if they came knocking and they said season 4 was a possibility, if Netflix was going to produce one, are you on board?
100%.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And will you climb into the octagon for season four?
Imagine they just totally jump the shark and she becomes a fighter.
We're going to lose the gym if she doesn't get into the ring.
I could certainly use the training after 6 months in quarantine. So I need a little weight cut. So,
Joanna, thank you so much. If people want to check you out or follow you or see what's going on, what's the best place for them to go?
Instagram is Joanna Going and Twitter is Joanna Going One, number one.
Awesome. Joanna, thank you so much. Stay safe during all this and we hope to see you on the screen soon.
Thank you so much. This was fun. Thank you.
Pleasure.
All right, Joanna Going. What a sweet lady. She's awesome.
Yeah.
I feel like
it's weird talking about a sweet lady and seeing what she did on the show.
Yeah. You know, what a sweet lady. Then you turn on the next episode and she's like buck naked doing heroin, you know. But you know.
Yeah.
Could you
just like grandma used to do.
Could you get into would you be comfortable getting nude on a show for like let's say you were getting paid, let's say it was your first acting role, Mike, and everybody who gets into comedy and things like that always has a thought of acting might be kind of fun. You know, Mike, you were on ID Discovery. You know,
I was.
Which what was the show? It was
I think it was called I Almost Got Away With It.
Right. Yeah. So one of those murder shows that women just watch at home and like think about killing their husbands and whatnot. But
pretty much.
So you do have a, you know, a nice IMB credit and whatnot. And so let's say you were getting a day rate, I don't know, like as an early actor, what would it take for you to get nude on a show? Would you be okay with it?
I guess one question is, since there's two different sides, like ladies, we can pretty much see everything. Guys, all they do is like the butt shot. Or so are we going by the general rule, they're just going to show my butt?
All right, well, let's go in scales here, okay? The first one is just, a nice butt shot, a nice close-up of Mike's rear end.
I mean, a couple grand, I guess. I mean,
I think I'd be okay with it. I really...
Yeah.
I'm not that bad with the nudity. Not that
I bad. I feel, since I've been working out more, I'm not going to say I got an extraordinary body, but at least I feel more comfortable with my body. Where
now you're not saying you have an extraordinary body, but you have an extraordinary butt is what you're saying to our audience.
Well, not extraordinary butt, but enough where it's I'm not going to sit back and people are going to go, what the hell am I looking at?
So why did you start that Instagram, Burlew's Butt Pics, that you told me not to release to the public yet?
Well, I mean, you know, we don't know where the economy is going to be a year from now. So I got to think of the spare cash before the trends start happening. So,
Burlew, I hate to break it to you, but Instagram, there's a lot of butt on Instagram for a long, long time now. In fact, people make their living just showing their butt.
Oh, so you're saying there is competition out there? Oh,
yes. I think you're late
to the internet in general. You think I'd be like the first butt on the internet?
I'm saying Instagram is. I think plenty of women, especially, have made quite a living just showing their butt on the old Instagram machine.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird how easy that occurred. You know, I mean, it's kind of weird how they start a site and then like a few months later, all of a sudden, you're worth $500,000. Because it's like, well, I got X amount of followers, but I still never really figured out magically. Okay, so let's say I have 50,000 followers. How does that equate to I'm worth this amount?
I think it's all sponsorship, like the bathing suit you're wearing or the photographer you're using. Maybe you tag him. I think it's people paying you to be like an influencer. Like, Burlew's Butt Pics takes off. And they're like, Burlew, we want you to wear that NASCAR jacket that's behind you right now, but just, you know, have your butt just sticking out of it. We'll pay you X amount to put it out there.
See, that would be sexy. Me just like being completely naked, but the jacket would cover up like my front side, and then only my butt is showing. And I got my finger up to my mouth, like, "Ooh, I might be doing something naughty." But
we just lost. You know, we're building a little audience over the last few weeks. All this momentum, we have just definitely it went right out the window. But please take that photo and post it on our Instagram.
Hey, when Shenanigans Showdown comes back. And I get a crisp 20 points for that, I'll do it.
What has it been, 3 years since we've been saying to bring that back?
Yeah. It was the year-long competition, which was brought up maybe 6 times during the year.
Yeah. We started off on fire, and then I petered out. I tried to get some in the end, and then it completely petered out by, like, October, I would say. It was completely gone. But
yeah, I made sure going into that last day you had to do something insane to beat me. Yep.
Now, what about full frontal nudity? So now we're stepping it up a game. Are you still okay? Like, okay, you're just going to get the role, so you're just going to do it, or you got to be paid a little bit of extra?
I'm going to need a decent paycheck for that.
All right, give me your weekly rate. I'm making a film called, I don't know, Naughty Podcasters, right? And okay. And I'm hiring you for the week. You know, you got a minor part. You're gonna do you have like 5 minutes on screen, and 2 minutes of that. 2 minutes of that, you know, is going to be you nude.
Me hanging dong.
Hanging. So what's your weekly rate? Like, I'm working with your agent right now. Like, okay, for Mike to sign this role, what do you need to get paid?
I would probably say $250,000.
$250,000? Wow, you have a very pricey dong there.
I mean, once it's out there,
250 grand to you. So you're just entering the film world, and you're getting 250 just to hang dong.
Well, I mean, you want me to? It's
for a week. I just blew my whole budget on the movie on just you.
Hey, it's not my fault you don't know how to budget when you have this kind of talent.
See, I thought for sure you're going to be like 10 grand would be okay.
Nah, I mean, once it's out there, it's out there. So it's like I can't go back to regular stuff after I do that.
Why not? What if it's just an innocent scene, like a locker room scene? Like you're just walking around like the guys do at the gym, you know? I mean, I don't got a $250,000 in my budget, but I got a nice, shiny 10 grand for you.
Nah, it's got to be more than 10 grand.
I'd do it for 10 right now.
It for 10?
Yeah, I'm not really, the nudity doesn't bother me that much. And especially, I don't know, if it's going to be a big film, I could be, maybe my IMDb could say nude guy number 2, and I got some money in the bank. It's not bad. I think we're a little too sensitive about nudity.
Nah, just my take on it. And you can get my butt cheap and all, but dong, you better get the loans signed up.
All right, so you heard it here first, guys. For, a workman's wage, you can get Berlew's butt, but you flip him around, you better have bills to pay. You better
exactly.
You better got stacks on stacks on stacks, man.
Yeah, I mean,
stuff
here. No, I don't want like my mom calling me up and all. So I was going through. I was on HBO last night, Michael. I was bragging to all the neighbors how my son was in this new movie.
I was going to say she wouldn't be proud of you if he landed a nude role. She'd be completely mad at you.
I feel with my mom, she would like tell me, "Well, what are you going to do after that?" I mean, she's one of those is like, if you do something, by rule, the world ends kind of things and all. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, she would be the one, if I got suspended, I would hear, "I'll never get a job," kind of deal.
It's actually a great idea for a podcast, just interviewing people who were nude on film and like how they, how they did that and what their experience was like. It's a pretty interesting podcast. But
well, there's how many people could be out there? Because again, I'll be the first person to put my butt out there. So.
Well, you heard it here, guys. If you want me, pony up your 10 grand. If you want Mike, you better be you got big pockets. You better have.
Well, yeah, you gotta be like that sleazy kind of millionaire where it's like you text me at midnight. It's like I got the money. Yeah. Get over here.
It's got to happen in the wee hours of the morning. Like it's got to.
Yeah.
It's got to be dark out, and it's got to be at like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And speaking of lewd acts, did you see the latest news about your boy Odell Beckham?
My boy.
I don't know. It felt nice to say that.
He was on your team, my friend.
Let's get that straight.
I heard it. I mean, it's always a weird thing where like somebody comes out and says blah blah is into this.
Right.
And you have to go out there and say have a press conference to talk about no, I do not like Dookie on my chest kind of deals, you know.
Yeah, I don't believe it. As weird as Odell Beckham is and how, you know, out there he is and he's had some controversy around him his whole career, I think it's some girls on this podcast just like BSing and trying to get a clip out there that'll be crazy and gone viral, which it did. They will be shortly forgotten. Like, this doesn't last. Like, if we said that and we went viral, that doesn't grab like, oh, we got to tune in this week for more things. It's not. It's just let's throw a bunch of memes and jokes out there and that'll follow that guy around for a while. And if you're him, I think the approach is just to laugh at him and be like, this is just ridiculous, you know? And if it is true, I mean, I guess what he's into is his business, but I don't believe it actually.
All right. So going back to our old conversation. So I'm like, okay, Scott, I got the checkbook open. Here's what I want to do. And you got to do the OBJ.
Can I like dye the middle of my hair blonde and put a Browns jersey on? So it's like a comical piece.
No. Everybody's got to know if like the cover will be Scott Brennan.
Because I think if I, you know, if I pretended I was Odell, it could be a viral clip, you know, like it could be a funny clip. But as Scott Brennan, that might be Mike in more your pay territory.
Yeah.
That is disgusting and horrific. So, I'm gonna say let's go with your 250, your quarter mil for that one.
Yeah, that will be only 10,000 for me, but I digress. No. It's weird. Once those rumors start, like you can never get like anybody Googles anything right now about you, it's immediately going to be that story. The podcast it comes from, it's hard to say their sources or whatever because that's the same podcast that basically a girl said she had oral sex with the entire Phoenix Suns
exactly.
team.
It seems like that kind of let's just throw something crazy out there. I don't believe any of it, to be honest.
And one that was into peeing on her and whatever. It's, I guess each your own, but,
yeah,
I couldn't fathom being into it just on the fact I'd be petrified. Some girl would be going out there saying, hey, you know what he wanted me to do?
Yeah, I think, listen, I'm not a big Beckham fan, but I do think maybe he's a guy that was so out there and so, I don't know, egotistical and flamboyant and whatnot, that a lot of stories are going to be made up about that guy for a long time. Like, you know, like I almost feel bad for him in a way, because the guy is a God-given talent. You know, he's had some rough years as far as his health and getting used to. But I feel bad when like listen, you hate a guy as far as a sports player, but then it just goes like as an athlete, but then it just goes like too far, and you're like, all right, like does this guy deserve that? That's a pretty bad one, man.
Yeah, and he's had a lot of rumors. Like there was a. While there was questions if he was gay, if I recall,
yep,
OBJ, and I mean, and what really hurts him is he seems to be a very sensitive type of guy, and all because I mean, he had that crazy rookie season, and then the corners just started talking smack to him, and then he's
emotional, very emotional,
just got lower and lower, and then he was getting into fights and penalties. That whole thing with Josh Norman.
Yep.
I mean, it was getting unreal. I mean, I'm not going to knock him if that's what he's into. That's not my cup of tea whatsoever. And if he is into it, it's almost a shame some girl just goes out there and blabs his business when, I mean, he didn't do it. I mean, it's one thing if he's like, slapped her or something like that. It's like, all right, you want to be that? Let me get back to you. But, I mean, what there can you really say? Once it's out there, everybody's going to think it. I mean, the Cleveland Steamer shirts are all out there. And you know, if fans get to get into a stadium this year, he's going to hear a couple things.
Yeah, and he's the guy, like, these kind of things and these kind of stories and these kind of rumors and the constant media all over him. He's the kind of guy like that. That kind of attention will ruin his career, which arguably it's already... It's definitely taken a downfall over the last 3 years. He's the kind of guy that will pay attention to it and get involved in it and get upset by it and respond to it. And I don't think he's a guy that can block it all out. That's what I think. You know?
No, he doesn't seem to have mental toughness. I mean, something like that, it's kind of hard to be mentally tough. I mean, I guess you got to be a real man. Somebody say, oh, you want me to get my girl and go crap on you or something like that? Or... Yeah. I guess they got some better whack talk than me, but that's why my career as a quarterback never worked out.
Yeah, his price just dropped in the nude scene, guys. If you need Mike, he'll do it for $400 and a Subway sandwich.
On a side note, it's really weird if football's starting tomorrow.
Very strange. Very strange. It doesn't feel like it.
No buildup whatsoever. I mean, I know we've been hearing the practice and all that, and Lord knows none of us wanted 4 or 5 weeks of preseason. But at the same time, it's almost like, oh, yeah, the Chiefs are playing tomorrow. And it's
the only reason weird. I'm kind of even into it a little bit is because I done, like, you know, my fantasy football draft, and that's kind of gotten me in the mood. But other than that, it's same thing like baseball. I really haven't watched much, which is weird for me. Hockey, I really haven't watched. Like, I haven't really re-gripped back onto the sport since they come back. Other than the MMA, I've kind of been watching. But the other ones, I'm just kind of like, oh, I'll check the scores. And it just hasn't really grabbed me that much. But
it's also weird, like, all of them are piping in the sounds. I almost want to hear that quietness to make it unique about it. I mean, especially football, I would love to hear like a real great open field tackle, like the thud of it. And
the problem with football is the language you're gonna get from, like, you just watch any episode of what's the show on HBO, Hard Knocks. It's gonna be like that times 50, you know, like that's where they're gonna have the problem on national television, which I'm assuming, which is some of the reason they might do it for, like, basketball and other things, close contact kind of sports, because there's a lot of trash talk that goes on that we don't hear. But
speaking of like audience of or whatever, did you hear about what the WWE did?
No.
Or like, so what they did is they rented out an arena, and they have like HD TV boards all over the arena. And, like, fans log in and they get their face, kind of like what the NBA does. And they can, so they have pictures on there. And I'm guessing they pipe in, like, canned kind of cheers or whatever, but they kind of give the mood of it. But they've had to play around with it, because in the first 2 weeks, one person put up a picture, instead of their face, they put Chris Benoit up on the screen.
I saw that. Yeah.
And then another guy put a KKK outfit on and watched Raw. So they've had to monitor it a little bit.
They gotta screen that a little bit. It takes one guy to look through, you know, a couple hundred photos. It's not that hard. The intern can do that.
Worst offense, KKK or Chris Benoit on your television?
I gotta go KKK. You know why? Because the Chris Benoit, at least there's some wrestling nerd that thinks that's funny, because it's wrestling. It's at least related. The KKK, it's just you're being a complete idiot. You know, you're being a racist douchebag. So, worst defense. But Chris Benoit, not much further behind that. But Berlou, let's get out of here. I think it's time to go. Good episode tonight with Joanna Going. So go check her out. Berlo, anything to promote before we roll on out of here?
I'm going to promote a YouTube channel called Katina Eats Kilos. Her name is Katina Eats Kilos, yes. And she does a bunch of food challenges on her site. And all. She's a sweet little girl who does these food challenges. As kind of a throwback to why I'm promoting it, is just recently it was announced that she and a former guest of ours, Randy Santel, are kind of a couple right now. Oh. So congratulations to those little two kitties. But she does her own video. She recently did an Alaska tour with Randy Santel where they met and kind of let the magic start. But check it out on YouTube. Her channel name is Katina Eats Kilos.
Randy must really love her because imagine picking up that tab at the restaurant, you know, like taking her out to dinner, like, oh, Jesus Christ, you know, we'll take 87 hot dogs between the two of us.
Yeah, like the parents are like paying, if they get end up getting married, man, oof, that bill is going to be outrageous.
They'll have a cake, they'll eat their whole cake instead of a slice.
Can we have some? No, this is a great video.
I will promote quickly a comic friend of mine, Glenn Tickle. Yes, that's his real name. Glenn Tickle, very funny comic. He actually has a special on Amazon Prime. He put out a special about his brother passed away a couple years ago, and he did a whole special on that. But I'm actually promoting something new he's putting up. It's called Jerk the Magazine. He's starting a magazine that you subscribe to, other people, because you think they're jerks. So you literally buy a magazine and he sends a full magazine to this person's house and writes about jerks and how they're jerks. So it's something interesting. It's getting off the ground. He has a GoFundMe right now. So go check out Jerk! The magazine. And maybe we'll bring him on to ask him what it's actually all about. So
he was on another show before, if I recall.
Yes. He was on to promote. I think he might have been on to promote the special. I don't know.
It was a while ago.
Long time ago. Definitely was. But yes, Glenn was on the show. So really, very funny comedian. So other than that, guys, I want to thank Joanna Going for the interview. We have a whole bunch of other stuff coming up. But what you can do for us is listen, subscribe, and follow us on social media. Always fun. Good to be back. We got plenty more coming ahead. In the meantime, go listen to our other episodes if you enjoyed this. And most importantly, leave us a review on iTunes. That helps us get populated and gets us up in the charts and all those things. So, guys, life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. Bye-bye. Send the checks.